Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
While fox hunting in Britain has fallen upon hard times, those who have indulged in the practice say the thrill is the chase, somewhat the same way a young man feels in pursuing the girl of his dreams. And while there may be a measure of truth in the fact that the pursuit may be more glamorous than the catch, the fact is you run to win, not just get exercise. I've noticed a growing number of books which focus on searching for God. I've read them. And after I've read them, I've closed the covers slightly dissatisfied because I have the feeling the focus is on the search for God, but fall short of connecting with God. Vast numbers of people can identify with searching for God, pagans as well as seekers. It's a religious pursuit, something which people have done from the beginning of time. I have read of individuals who spent their entire lives in a spiritual search, sometimes traveling from place to place, studying under various gurus, spending their fortunes in a pursuit to find God. Searching for God is akin to an orphan wondering who his parents are, what they are like, and if he found them, would he be warmly received or rejected as unwanted baggage? Now, seekers can be completely sincere and their quest completely authentic, yet their lives are an ongoing frustration, seeking without finding, pursuing without reaching an objective. Question: is God hidden whereby only a few can find him? Does he play a game of hide-and-seek, always besting us, as would an evil father who calls his child to come, but then hides when he approaches? You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's what God told his people through Jeremiah in the book that bears his name. On the cross, a thief, believing that the one hanging between him and another criminal was God's son, cried out, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Today you will be with me in paradise." His search for God took only a few minutes. A strapping young man, standing about 6'5", weighing about 330 pounds, was assigned to be my escort at a speaking engagement. As we chatted, I asked him, "How did you become a believer?" He explained that he was in prison, the result of having abused his wife. Holding out his wrists, he showed me the scars from breaking two sets of handcuffs, snapping them like Samson did his cords. He said in one altercation he had been knocked down by the police, lying face down in a pool of blood, two policemen holding arms and legs on each side, with a foot of another policeman standing on his neck. "Jesus," he cried out, "save me!" Having been raised in a Christian home, he had drifted far from God. But in that instant, he cried out, "God saved me." He said, "God changed my life and did save me." He introduced me to his wife and children as a testimony to the fact that you don't have to search long for God when you're absolutely sincere and throw yourself on him. Fearing that the fishing boat on stormy Galilee would sink, Peter cried out, "Lord, save us or we're going to perish." It was enough. Jesus quelled the storm. Perhaps it's time for you to stop searching and connect. God hears and answers the cry of a person who gets to the end of himself and throws himself on the mercy of God. For some, searching may be the main thing. But for myself, finding God brought satisfaction and joy, which searching never satisfied. Are you searching? It's time to find him.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. For more practical and inspirational messages, visit guidelines.org. If you find our devotionals helpful and would like to share them with others, consider supporting our ministry with a donation. Again, that's guidelines.org. Thanks for listening to Guidelines for Living.